Okay, good afternoon, everybody. We are back on the record about 3:24 p.m. on Tuesday, the 14th of November, and this is in the appeal of Lubisher and Ryan from an administrative decision granting a critical area buffer for the Arborwood planned residential development. And this is Department File 22-02629. When we broke for lunch, it sounds like Mr. Telegin, the applicant's, or excuse me, the appellant's attorney, has finished with his witnesses. Ms. Liao may have a few follow-up questions for the last witness, Dr. Cook, and we can revisit that at the time that Ms. Liao says that she is ready, unless you are now.
We've not received the photos. The follow-up questions were pertaining to the photos.
Yeah, I tried for about 55 minutes of my lunch break, but we had technical problems trying to transfer them. So I apologize. I will get them to you as soon as I possibly can, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, but I just couldn't get them all. I couldn't get them into my hands electronically to do that.
Well, we're obviously going to have to talk about scheduling another day, hopefully not two, but we'll see at the end of the day today. So at this point, I'll ask the applicant's attorney, Ms. Liao, if you're ready to proceed with calling your first witness.
I am, but I'd like to make some opening remarks before
Okay.
I do. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oops, I've lost my screen here. Thank you. Ms. Examiner, we've been fairly focused for the last 2 days on narrow issues concerning adverse impacts to wetlands, based primarily on foundational exhibits and the appellant's testimony and exhibits as well. The applicant, Taylor Morrison, thinks it's critical to evaluate these issues in the context of the larger entitlement process that has occurred and actually continuing to occur for the very work that is directly pertaining to the CBER approval that has been appealed. Quite frankly, it has taken me 3 months to figure out where just the entitlement process because it is quite confusing. And like I said, I think it's critical to understanding the issues that have been alleged, as well as the relevance of the documents that we've been discussing throughout this appeal. Those implementing approvals that we think are relevant are not only the CBER decision, of course, itself, but the applications for an early clear and grade permit and multiple site development activity permits, which we believe are solely subject to review for compliance with the 2009 preliminary plat that approved Arborwood, as well as the applicable critical area regulations and stormwater regulations in effect under March 26, 2008. At this point in time, doesn't seem like there's much issue with respect to that vesting, so I'll try to skip over any comments in that regard. I just want to remind the hearing examiner that this is an appeal, not a public hearing, which means that none of these implementing approvals, in fact, were actually even subject to public comment. They're type one decisions, which has been evident a bit in some of the documents we've seen in the record in terms of the back and forth between the applicants and the county staff. So this is truly an administrative decisions for which appellants have the burden of proof to establish the county issued this CBER approval in error. They have to demonstrate that substantial evidence does not support the issuance of this CBER approval. And moreover, it is their burden to prove that the county's decision is an erroneous interpretation of the law with deference given to the county as to the construction of its own code. So in the testimony that you'll be hearing from the Taylor Morrison team, you'll hear from Pete Lumbaris and Lisa Cavell, who are both employed by Taylor Morrison, that the Arborwood development, this has been subject to actually 3 decades worth of planning, including multiple environmental impact statements by the county. This culminated in a preliminary plat application in the 2000s, for which the county affirmatively moved from non-project to project-based CEPA review for the Arborwood plat in the context of approving that decision. You'll hear from, excuse me, I jumped down here. As you will hear in the testimony from Chris Wright of Radicane Associates, the preliminary plat in 2009 anticipated the very wetland fill and buffer modifications that are proposed in this CABR approval. And as you'll also hear from Michael Moody of Core Design, the conceptual stormwater design of which some of the plans you've seen, you haven't seen all of them, that have been submitted to the county were also based on that 2009 preliminary plat approval. Has been discussed briefly, the county ended up memorializing that preliminary plat decision in a development agreement that established a 15-year timeline for development of the plat, and specifically for obtaining these implementing approvals, which includes the CABR, the early clearing grade, which I may refer to as ECG, and the site development approval activity permits, or the SDAP permits. As you will hear from Mr. Limbaris, the development agreement also clearly specifies that no further CEPA review or even adoption of prior CEPA determinations is necessary, so long as the approvals do not extend beyond the project envelope that was approved under that 2009 plat. And as you heard already, even though Taylor Morrison does take issue with reference to a categorical exemption even being necessary with respect to the CABR approval that's under appeal, but as you heard from Mr. Heacock, we don't even believe that categorical exemption determination, if it was legally correct, is subject to appeal. So in short, we believe appellants may only challenge site development activities proposed by Taylor Morrison to the extent that they don't comply with the vested critical area regulations or stormwater regulations, not under sort of a more blanket CEPA standard. And then in response to the testimony and exhibits you've seen from appellants over the past 2 days, in response by Taylor Morrison, you'll be hear from multiple wetland biologists from both Radicane and Ecological Land Services, who appellants have noted in their issue statement, are both well-regarded firms in this field. On the issue of, in particular, the spine road the plans that have been proposed around that, you'll hear from Gary Charnbroy of Core Design, and you'll also hear from Mr. Charnbroy and Eric Clark in connection to help bridge the dots between the 2009 plat, this CABR application, and these ECG plans and SDAP approvals, which we've only heard the tip of the iceberg on. You'll also hear from Mr. Michael Moody, who will speak more directly about the drainage plan design and the specific state and of review that those are in, which have not yet been approved by the county. And then finally, one witness who was not on our list previously, but we are adding to our list in rebuttal to the testimony we heard from appellants, is Carolyn Decker from Terra Associates, who led the most recent geotechnical report of the Arborwood site.
Okay.
So with that, I am ready to call my first witness, which will be Pete Limbaris.
Okay, thank you.
And is that going to be under your VNF witness?
Yes, please. Yes, thank you for clarifying that.
Good afternoon, Mr. Limbaris. Is it Mr. or Doctor?
It's Mr.
Okay. Well, you've had a few doctors, and I've actually been like not using that introductory. Okay. Do you mind? Please raise your right hand, and do you swear or affirm the testimony you give today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Thank you. All right, Ms. Liao, you may proceed.
Okay. Great. Can you just restate your name for the record?
Yes, it's Pete Limbaris.
Great. And where do you currently work?
Taylor Morrison.
Okay. And how long have you worked for Taylor Morrison?
Approximately 3 years.
Okay. And what is your title at Taylor Morrison?
Division President.
And as division president, can you just provide a brief overview of your role at in connection with this appeal?
I provide overview of the division, its performance, and then general overview of projects as they move through our process.
Okay, great. Can you just briefly describe Taylor Morrison's involvement with the Arborwood development?
Sure. We own the north half of approximately the north half of the Arborwood development.
And approximately when did you acquire that north half of the Arborwood development?
It was the latter half of 2021.
And who did you purchase that from?
OPG, Olympic Property Group.
Great, thank you. Okay. Can you, based on your understanding of the entitlement history for Arborwood, can you just briefly describe what you're aware of up until the time Taylor Morrison acquired Arborwood, so up until late 2021?
Sure. It was originally owned by Pope Resources as timberland, and it had been logged over the years. In the 90s, it was proposed, a development was proposed by OPG that's an arm of Pope Resources. At the time, I think it was about twice the size of what Arborwood is today. In about the mid-2000s, I believe it was, OPG scaled back the development to be the current proposal of about 360 acres, I think is the number. At that time, from then, 2009, OPG got a preliminary plat approval for about 751 lots. A year later, they entered into a development agreement with the county for a period of 25 years. And then in 2019, I think that was the last action OPG took, which was getting a minor modification approved of the original preliminary plat.
Great, thank you. And just for a point of clarification, you said the development agreement has a period of 25 years. Was that a misstatement or is that correct?
I believe it's, my understanding is there's a 25-year term on the development agreement.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I take that back. I keep thinking 2025 is a 15-year term.
Yeah, I did the same thing. That's a minor point, but I just thought it'd be kind of clear for the record.
Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. I am going to pull up an exhibit, and I have, this is a foundational exhibit for the parties, but I have them separated by number, because that's just, or the just to identify, because it is the only way that I work well here. Hold on just a moment. So this is for the parties, exhibit F10. Pete, are you familiar with this document?
That looks like the first preliminary plat amendment that OPG obtained in 2019.
Great, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and scroll down to attachment D in that exhibit. So give me just a moment. It's attachment D. Aha, here it is. Give me just a second to expand that. Okay. Can you describe what this attachment D to that first preliminary plat approval, or excuse me, first preliminary plat amendment is showing?
I believe that's the first preliminary plat that was approved by the county back in 2009, and generally shows approximately the current configuration of the Arborwood community.
Great. And when you say that, you said that Taylor Morrison owns approximately half, just roughly speaking, which half are you referring to?
It's the half that's on the north end. It's that there, as well as a portion of the right side of the screen, the northern, that part there.
Okay, fair enough. Mostly just wanting to orient the hearing examiner to the larger project, so thank you. Mm-hmm. And who owns the southern half?
Pulte Homes.
Thank you. In total, about how many homes will Taylor Morrison build?
340.
And about approximately how many will Pulte build?
410.
So in total, about 750 homes between the two of you for the whole plot. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Let's see. Does either the preliminary plat or the development agreement that you referenced previously obligate the developer to provide any public benefit as a condition of the project?
It does. There's 104 acres of open space that is going to get dedicated to the county that's currently in a conservation easement. There's a 3-acre community park that's in Arborwood North that we own. There's 8,000 feet of new trails and a trail connection to the Kitsap Heritage Park.
Okay. And with regards to that that Heritage Park extension, is that already dedicated to the county, or does that permanently become part of the dedicated county at some later point in time?
It's in a conservation easement. It doesn't get dedicated until the final plat.
Okay. So the project needs to be completed before it gets dedicated to the county.
That's correct.
Very good. Okay. And then are there any offsite improvements proposed for this project as well?
There are. There's 3 offsite improvements. I don't know where they are for traffic control. And then there's a roundabout at the entry to the north end of the community.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'm going to stop sharing that. Okay, so fast forward now to Taylor Morrison's ownership of the property. How would you describe your current stage of the development process for for Arborwood, since Taylor Morrison's picked it up?
For Taylor Morrison specifically, we've submitted a clearing and grading approved. Well, first of all, we have a second plat amendment that has been approved that had some, you know, minor changes to the first plat amendment. We've submitted a clear and grade permit. We've submitted an SDAP permit, and those are still pending.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
I believe we've submitted a third plat amendment as well. Yeah.
And you mentioned the second preliminary plat modification. I apologize if you said this already. Was that submitted by yourself, or was that a joint application?
That was a joint application with Pulte Homes and us.
Okay. And has Taylor Morrison begun any actual on-site activities on this project yet?
We had hoped to this summer, but this appeal has prevented that.
Okay. And I've been mentioning Pulte a bit. What is Taylor Morrison's relationship with Pulte on development of this property?
We have some coordination with consultants. We have coordination of infrastructure. Overall project coordination, but once we get past that coordination of our intersecting parts, we essentially permit and develop and build our own homes in our own respective portion of the community.
By comparison, where is Pulte at the current point in time on development-wise? What phase of development are they at compared to Taylor Morrison?
Pulte has developed one section of their community. They have a final plat. They're currently building and selling homes. I believe they've also just recently received SDAP approval for another phase development the Spine Road, a portion of the Spine Road.
Great. Oh, and I should let me go ahead and pull that up again. Just, we've heard a lot about it. So just going to ask you a quick question about the Spine Road here. So this was that same exhibit we were looking at again. So when you're referring to the Spine Road, we've been focusing on this narrow segment in the appeal, but can you just, you know, and I'll try to move my cursor to describe it. In that Spine Road, can you just describe where it leads to from end to end through to the sites?
Sure. If you go to the upper right portion of that picture where it connects to, I think that's Kingston Road,
mm-hmm.
and then follow that curvature around to the left, straight down, continuing. Yep, you just stay on that track around through Pulte section there, and then it connects back out on the other side of the community.
Got it. So when you said that Pulte has been already under construction on portion of that Smine Road, you said?
Correct.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Based on your knowledge, have there been any appeals of the permits issued to Pulte for their half of the property?
No, they've had 2 SDAP approvals and a final plat, and they have not been appealed.
Okay, great. Has Taylor Morrison, since acquiring the project, engaged with the public at all in connection with development of this project?
We did. I believe it was June of this year, Pulte and Taylor Morrison, together we went to, see if I can say this, the Kitsap Community Center, I believe it was. And we did a presentation with a PowerPoint about who we were and what our expected development timing was. We shared that with the community, answered some questions, and then left the PowerPoint with them.
Was that for the Kingston Community Advisory Council?
Yes.
Okay. That was the name. I trip over that myself. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. At that meeting, did you hear any concerns from the public regarding critical areas or stormwater management for this project?
We didn't. We heard concerns about traffic, questions around timing during the meeting, but nothing around critical areas or stormwater.
Okay. And that was just back in June of 2023 that you said that you had that meeting. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. Prior to this appeal, did any of the appellants contact you or anyone else at Taylor Morrison about their concerns?
No.
Okay. Since that appeal, have you or any representatives reached out to the appellants to discuss the project?
No.
You've not made any efforts to reach out?
We haven't made any efforts to reach out. We did at the meeting in June offer for anyone who had concerns to reach out to us. We'd be more than happy to talk to them, but we hadn't heard from anybody.
Okay, great. All right. Actually, like to go to another exhibit briefly. Let me go ahead and share my screen again to exhibit F8. Now you referenced the development agreement. This is the development agreement you're referring to for Art Road. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Do you have experience with development agreements from working on other development projects?
I do.
Okay. And what is your understanding of development agreements?
A development agreement is an agreement between a jurisdiction and a developer that sets timing in which things would occur. It vests the development to codes. It typically almost exclusively provides for the public benefit of being allowed to develop as requested. And it oftentimes sets out both plat and infrastructure layouts and needs in order to execute the development in the way it's envisioned.
For this particular development agreement, do you recall whether or not the development agreement anticipates additional approvals needed to construct this project?
Yeah, it does. It requires clear and grade approvals, SDAP approvals, infrastructure approvals, building permit approvals. There's a number of additional approvals that are needed.
And I've jumped down to section 6.2.1, or I guess it's under the header of vesting, which you spoke to just a moment again, under 6.2. Mm-hmm. Under this second paragraph here, where I've highlighted in reference to implementing approvals, are these the types of permit approvals that you were describing earlier?
Yes.
That the development agreement contemplates? Okay. Yep. And that your understanding is that those implementing approvals are vested to the codes specified in the development area, is that correct?
Absolutely, that was a key component of our engagement in the process.
Okay, great. Do you recall whether or not the agreement specifies anything with respect to CEPA review for the project?
My understanding was that there was, as long as we didn't have any major changes, that there was no additional CEPA review required.
Got it. And you referenced the a recent, I think, two plat modifications.
Mm-hmm.
Are those plat modifications changes to the Arborwood plat, I guess that's as contemplated under the development agreement?
Yeah, there was some minor changes, and we received MDNS on that P plat, and there was no additional SEPA required as long as we didn't have any major changes that we were going to do.
Okay. Got it. Great. Now I'm going to stop sharing. Those are the only questions I have for Mr. Lamberis.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Getches. Gosh, I'm going to slaughter your name still. Do you have any questions for this witness? I think you're muted. It sounds like that's a no.
That's a no.
Okay, great. All right, Mr. Telegin, cross-examination.
Thanks, not too much. Mr. Lamberis, it's good to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Do you know Mr. Rawlings?
I do.
Who's that?
It's Richard Rawlings, and he was our forward planning manager when we purchased this project.
Does he still work for your organization?
He does not.
Okay. Do you know if he received any comments from the surrounding community about this project?
He was gone by the time we got appeal, but prior to that, I believe there was an HOA that had reached out to him. He spoke to the HOA. I'm not sure exactly what he spoke to him about. Most of it, as my understanding, was centered around the timing of the development and when we were going to start development.
How about perimeter buffers around the project?
I honestly don't remember.
Okay. The June 2023 meeting that your company had at the Kitsap Community Center, mm-hmm. Was any opposition to the project voice or any concerns at that meeting?
Oh, there was concerns, certainly, but I didn't hear what I would categorize as opposition.
I see. You guys spent some time walking through the plat approval in 2009, the subsequent plat amendments. What were the second and the third? You said that you had them, but you didn't describe what they were.
The second and the third plat amendments, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My understanding of the plat amendment, the second plat amendment was to make adjustments for our current design of phases 4 and 5 that we currently have submitted for SDAP approval. And then the third one is to make the same type of minor adjustments for our future phase 6.
Do you know what those adjustments were, though?
I don't. You'd have to ask my team.
Okay. In any of those documents, was it your understanding that the buffer averaging plan was approved?
You'd have to ask my team. I'm not involved in that level of detail.
I see. So you weren't intending to opine whether or not the buffer averaging plan had been approved in any prior decision.
It's not something I'm engaged in.
Fair enough, sir. Thank you so much. Those are all my questions.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Liao. Do you have any other redirect?
I do not.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Lamberis. We'll have the applicant call their next witness.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Calling Lisa Cavell from Taylor Morrison.
Okay.
And it'll come up on the VNF witness page. So Pete, you can go off screen, but don't log off. And then that hopefully that'll keep this promoted.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Hello, Ms. Cavell?
Yes. Hi.
Hi, Stephanie Marshall. I'm the hearings examiner. I'm going to swear you in real quick, and then we'll have Ms. Liao commence questioning. Please raise your hand. Do you swear from the testimony you give today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you may proceed.
Okay. So again, can you just restate your name for the record?
Yeah, it's Lisa Cabell.
Okay. And where do you currently work?
For Taylor Morrison.
Okay. And what is your position title at Taylor Morrison?
I am the Vice President of Acquisitions and Entitlements.
How long have you been in that position?
Actually, it'll be 2 years tomorrow.
Okay, happy anniversary. Can you provide a brief overview of your role at Taylor Morrison in connection with the Arborwood Project?
Yeah, so I oversee all of the forward planning managers as far as the entitlements. From, I call it a helicopter view somewhat. I don't get into the day-to-day critical details. I leave that up to my forward planning managers. So just an overall review and of what they're doing with the projects, making sure they're going in the right direction.
Great. And then specifically on Arborwood, what has your role been to date?
On Arborwood to date really has been not as engaged. We had, as you heard earlier from Pete Lamberis, that we had a Richard Rawlings, who was the forward planning manager, who is no longer with Taylor Morrison. And this was his project that he was running prior to him leaving. It was mid last year.
Have you been involved in other developments similar to Arborwood?
And, yes, I have.
So it's fair to say you have experience with preliminary plats?
Yes.
Development agreements?
Yep.
PIPA?
Yep.
Okay. And sounds like you heard Mr. Lamberis' testimony regarding the history of the entitlement process for Arborwood. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? And yes. Do you generally agree with his description of the events?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Give me just a moment. Okay, I'm going to pull up for us. This is exhibit F7. Mm-hmm. And then I'll share my screen here in just a moment. Okay. Are you familiar with this document?
I am.
Okay. And can you describe what this is?
So that is the hearing examiner's decision and approval for the Arborwood project for the original preliminary plat back in 2009.
And were you or Taylor Morrison involved at the stage of the project when this was approved?
No, we were not.
Okay. But based on, but you've read the document?
Yes.
Okay. And from your understanding, what did the preliminary plat authorize the owner or developer at that time to do?
Basically to develop the project, allow build out of the project per the conditions of approval. It also stated we would need additional approvals, such as Pete testified to, for building permits, for utility, civil plans, I guess, utility design and development, final platting.
Great. I'm going to share another document. Give me just a moment. Okay. So this is exhibit F6. Mm-hmm. And this is, go to the top here. All right. Are you familiar with this document?
Yeah, that's the MD&S that was issued for the original preliminary plat.
Great. Based on your knowledge, are you aware of the history of SEPA review for the Arborwood site?
I am somewhat familiar with it. My understanding is that there were several EISs performed that began back in the mid-1990s. And then the county issued this MD&S in 2009 for the Arborwood plat.
What is your understanding of an MDNS?
Basically, the SEPA would be complete. No further EIS would be needed. The SEPA MDNS, it also will give you mitigating conditions that are required for me to complete as a developer when I develop the site.
Okay, great. I'm going to zoom in a little bit because I know it can be hard to read. So can you just, this first section here that I'm highlighting, can you just tell us what this is describing based on your understanding?
The current proposal of the Arborwood Preliminary Plat would consist of approximately 751 residences.
Great. And is it is this what your understanding the proposal that the MDNS evaluated was for?
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. Great. You mentioned that an MDNS typically includes certain conditions. I'm just going to scroll down to D4 or page 3 of this exhibit. Do you know what type of mitigation measures were included as a part of this MDNS?
Yeah, there were traffic mitigation conditions. There were stormwater requirements, and then there were wetland requirements to mitigate for impacts to the wetlands.
Great. I'm just going to go to, this is page five. So this condition number 3, can you describe the mitigation requirements that are imposed for stormwater impacts?
Yeah, we had to increase the capacity of the stormwater pond that serves the Grover's Creek Basin by approximately about 39-40%.
Great. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. And then number 4, this is another mitigation condition pertaining to wetlands. Can you just describe what that condition states?
That it allowed for the wetland stream crossings and buffer averaging proposals. They would be reviewed for compliance with Kitsap County Code, and that buffer averaging basically was an approved measure when dealing with the wetland and stream crossings.
Okay. I'm going to go and stop sharing for the moment. Actually, give me just a second. Yeah, I'll go ahead and close this up. Okay. We've heard about some preliminary plat minor modifications from Mr. Limbaris. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to ask you to describe your understanding of those plat modifications since it was approved in 2009.
Okay. So the first preliminary plat modification was done by OPG back in 2018. And that was mainly that preliminary plat approval was approved by the county. And what that did was it modified the streets and lots within phase one. And the idea was behind that was to provide for more efficient lot layout as well as street design, which would then also reduce the disturbance to the critical areas.
Great.
And then, do you want me to go on to the second one?
Yeah, that's fine. Cause I think we had that we were sharing that earlier with Pete, that was exhibit F10. So let me, okay. If you want to talk about exhibit, the other second amendment, let me go ahead and pull that up.
Okay.
Just so we have it here on the screen. Because I may ask you some questions about that. Hold just a moment while it's opening up. Okay. Okay. So yes, can you describe the second minor modification that was referenced earlier by Mr. Limbaris?
So that is the Kitsap County approval of our second preliminary plat modification back in April of 23.
Okay. Great. I'm going to go to page 3 of this exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
And can you just describe what this image here is showing?
So it's showing the north division as well as the south division. And what you see highlighted in the lime green color, that is what Taylor Morrison owns. And what you see just in the aerial view, Arborwood South, that is what Pulte owns.
Great. And Mr. Lamberis previously testified that this was the second minor modification was jointly submitted by Taylor Morrison and Pulte. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. I'm going to go to page 4 of this. Mm-hmm. And then ask you if you can describe the requested changes to the plat that was included in this second minor modification application.
Sure. So number one, to amend the project phasing plan. And what that was for was the original preliminary plat had originally 23 different divisions. And so we simplified that within the second amendment, and we came out with 6 divisions, which were more easily divided between ourselves and Pulte. And then defining the preliminary development phasing plan following phase one, which is what I'm talking about, where we amended the number of phases, modification of the Greenway Conservation Area boundary, relocating 10,000 square feet of commercial space, and then the north entrance at the Spine Road would have a newly constructed roundabout.
Okay. And I'm sorry, because this always trips me up. Did you explain what 1 and 2 were intended to accomplish already?
I believe I did.
Okay, great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And can you give a little bit more detail on this number 3, modify the Greenway Conservation Area boundary?
Yeah, so as Pete Lamberis testified, the Greenway Conservation Area boundary is not dedicated until you do final plat. And so there are times that there will be minor adjustments to that boundary of the conservation area, so long as the area does not decrease. We have to keep that 104 acres, but we can modify the boundaries with the preliminary plats so long as we don't decrease that area.
Other than these 5 specified here, were there any other changes requested in the second minor modification?
No.
There wasn't anything related to creek crossings?
I'm sorry. Yes, there was. And so we had made, thank you for the reminder. We had made also the modification to the North and South Creek crossings. And what we did was we modified that to an arched culvert design. And what we were doing was complying with the washed out wildlife crossing standards.
Great, thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna jump ahead in this decision and come back to the first 2 aspects of changes, which was you described as the phasing plan. So does this image, let me zoom out. This is a tough one. It's not my favorite. Does this confirm whether this image depicts that phasing plan you were describing earlier?
That is the phasing plan. Yes.
Yeah. And can you just point out, because it's a hard document to read, maybe just from bottom to top, each of those new phases, and I'll follow on my cursor.
Yeah. So where you see phase 1, division 1 and division 2, mm-hmm. those are Pulte. If you go up to phase, I can't read it very well. I think that's their phase 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then down below is their phase 3.
Mm-hmm.
Down in there. Mm-hmm. So those are all Pulte. And if you go up the Spine Road, right there, come down.
Oh.
Right in where the boundary is between the north and south. So Pulte's
right there.
On the east side. Yes.
Yeah. Got it. Thank you.
So that's the division for Pulte is on the Arborwood South. And then Taylor Morrison is on Arborwood North. So on the Arborwood North, you also see phase 4 up above, phase mm-hmm. 5, mm-hmm. and then phase 6, of which phase 6 half is Pulte, as you can see on the south end. And then Taylor Morrison is on the north end.
Got it. Okay. Just for everyone's benefit, I am going to pull up a demonstrative exhibit that is, mm-hmm. we believe, a little clear representation of That same phasing and that split that Lisa just described. So hold on just a moment, please. So again, I'm just offering this as a demonstrative exhibit. Lisa, are you familiar with this exhibit here?
I am. Okay. This is the exhibit we used when meeting with the community.
The Kitsap Community Advisory Council? Okay, great. And then just to reiterate what you just described, can you just quickly run down what this is showing?
Yeah, so basically what it's showing is the different phasing for Pulte, which you'll see on the left side of 410 lots. Mm-hmm. And then on the right side is the different phasing for Taylor Morrison to total 340 lots.
Okay, great. Just for color. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. So I am going to refer back to the plat modification number 2 that you were speaking to earlier. So I'm going to go to this page here, page 5, and I want to ask you about CEPA review in connection with this second minor amendment. Mm-hmm. Did the county conduct CEPA review in issuing this decision?
Yes.
Okay. And what is your understanding of the type of CEPA determination that was issued?
It was a CEPA addendum, which means basically that there were no new impacts with this preliminary plat modification.
Okay. Do you know if the county received any comments on this CEPA addendum?
I am aware of 2 comments that they received.
Are those as shown here in this page 13 of the decision?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you recall, can you summarize what those comments said?
Yeah, it basically, they were questioning the open space, which I will also call the Greenway area, and when that would be dedicated to the county.
Any comments regarding wetland fill or buffer intrusions for the project?
No.
Okay. Any comments regarding stormwater facilities proposed for the project?
No.
Are you aware of whether the appellants, Mr. Lubisher or Ms. Ryan, submitted public comments for the second minor modification?
My understanding, and from what I've seen, they did not.
Okay. Do you know whether there's any discussion in the second minor modification regarding the use of buffer averaging in connection with this minor modification?
I don't recall. I would have to look through the document, but I don't know right off the top of my head.
Okay, let me see if I can refresh.
Oh, there it is. So it's right there. Yep. So it did implicate buffer averaging and buffer reduction.
Okay. And maybe just read this last sentence here of this first paragraph.
Okay. The buffer reduction permit is an administrative permit and will be conditioned for implementation in the associated land use subdivision site development activity permit for phases 2 through 6.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Excuse me. Sorry, my screen is doing something funny. All right, so now I'd like to move on from the second minor modification of the plat, which Taylor Morrison had a hand in submitting. Did Taylor Morrison submit any other applications in conjunction with this minor modification?
Yes, so we've also submitted, as Pete pointed out, we submitted this CABR, which is also subject to this appeal. Early clear and grade permit, SDAP, which is our site development permit. We've submitted building permits for the walls and bridges. And then, of course, the preliminary plat amendment 3 has been now submitted.
Were you involved in submitting the applications for any of those permits?
I was not directly involved, no.
Okay. Are you aware of whether Taylor Morrison had to submit a SEPA checklist for the CABR or the early clear and grade or the SDEPs that you mentioned?
They did not.
Okay. Based on your understanding, what is Taylor Morrison asking the county to approve with the CABR decision?
Basically, what they're asking to have done is wetland buffer reductions within phases 5 and 6. And those buffer reductions are necessary to do the clear and grade and construction of the project and the spine road, as well as the stormwater infrastructure.
And you submitted that, Taylor Morrison submitted that as a separate application from the early clear and grade and SDAP?
Correct.
Do you know why that was submitted separately?
We do not.
Okay.
Other than the county requested us to do it that way.
To separate it from those other permits. Okay. Yeah. What is the current status of Taylor Morrison's site development permit applications?
Well, the CABR approval was issued subject to this appeal. The early clear and grade for phases 4 and 5 is ready to issue pending resolution of this appeal. Our SDAP is under review. We have responded to some comments with the county. We believe that that is pretty close forthcoming after the early clear and grade issuance. And then we also have our walls and bridge permits, which are sitting there approved pending the outcome of this appeal.
Are you aware of whether Pulte was required to apply for, I'm sorry, let me take a step back. You heard the testimony from Mr. Lamberis with regards to the status of Pulte's half of the artboard project, is that correct?
Correct.
And I understand that they have not only started construction, they're well on their way. They're finalizing plat portions of their plat. In their development permits, do you have some familiarity about the development permits that they've applied to for the county?
I have some familiarity. Yeah.
Are you aware of whether Pulte was required by the county to apply for a CABR approval separate from their site development activity permits?
In talking with their project team, I have been told that they were not required to separate and submit a separate CABR on any of their project.
Okay. Are you aware of whether the county conducted SEPA review after that SEPA, separate from the SEPA addendum that you talked about? Are you aware of whether the county conducted additional SEPA review on any of the site development approvals for Pulte?
I'm unaware of that.
Okay. That is the end of my direct. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Liao. Mr. Getchess, do you have any questions?
No, thank you.
All righty. Mr. Telligan, cross-examination.
Sure.
Good afternoon, Ms. Cabell.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Has this been a long day for you? And yesterday, were you here for the whole thing yesterday?
Oh, yeah. I was.
I'm going to start off with, don't worry, it won't be long. Exhibit F6. This was the mitigated determination of non-significance.
Correct.
Issued back, I believe, before the first preliminary plat was approved in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ms. Liao asked you about condition 4.
Yep.
What it said about buffer averaging. And I thought you said that it said that buffer averaging was approved. You used the word approved. Is that your understanding?
I don't recall if I said approved or not.
Okay. Do you, looking at it now, can you tell me whether you think it's, I mean, I wrote down the word approved.
Okay.
Just for clarification. Looking at it now, does it look like condition 4 describes buffer averaging as having been approved?
Well, when you say approved, so let's clarify that. My understanding is buffer averaging was an acceptable practice to use for the approval when doing our site development activity permits.
Okay. It does, though, you would agree with me here, say that wetland and stream crossings and buffer averaging proposals shall be reviewed for compliance with Kitsap County Code Title 19.
Correct.
So that was a review that still had to take place at the time to determine whether your buffer averaging plan complied with the buffer averaging rules.
Correct.
Okay. And then just let's see. I keep on getting things in the way here. I believe this is the preliminary plat amendment that is in the record at Exhibit F26. Mm-hmm. And Ms. Liao asked you to read into the record this particular statement. The buffer reduction permit is an administrative permit and will be conditioned for implementation. You would agree with me that describes the buffer reduction permit as a future permit that had yet to be issued?
Yes, that it would be reviewed.
Mm-hmm. And that was an approval that had not yet been issued, in fact.
That I would have to defer to my consultants only because I was not involved at the very beginning with the original preliminary plat and the understanding of what that meant when it pertains to this. So I would have to defer to my consultants for that.
Okay. But it does say will be. It will be, as in future.
Yes.
Okay. I don't think I have any more questions. Thank you so much, Ms. Cattle.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Ms. Liao, do you have any more redirect for this witness?
Yeah, just one quick question. Let me share this exhibit. So just going back to that exhibit F6, which is that MDNS, Ms. Cabal. In terms of the reference to the, I jumped up too quickly. In terms of that reference to the buffer averaging, in terms of its conclusion in this document, is it your understanding that at least buffer averaging was a part of the MDNS decision in terms of being considered in the county's prior issuance of that MDNS?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. That is all I have for Ms. Cabal. And I have to apologize, unless there's any more from anyone from Ms. Cabal.
Oh, I hate when people go back and forth. I was just going to ask one more question, though. Ms. Cavell, yeah. you weren't with Taylor Morrison in 2009, right? Or the former proponent for the project?
No, I was not.
So you're just reading words on a page, right?
That's what I was asked to do, yes.
Sure. All right. Nothing more. Thanks.
Okay. Ms. Liao, it sounds like you had a...
I have a request for a 5-minute break. I so apologize. Yeah. I know we're running late on the day, so I would
appreciate quite yeah. Well, the next this gives another opportunity to
reset the day. Yeah. Yep. I'll be quick, just 5 minutes. I appreciate it.
So that would be, we'll round it up to 4:30. Does that
perfect.
Work?
That'll work. Thank you so much.
Thank you.